Okay, today is the 24th of June, and Adiola and I are continuing going through the Psalms, and today we're going to go through the 13th Psalm, and Adiola is going to read it for us, and then we're going to make some comments about it. It's good to have you with me, Adiola.
Okay, right now, I did pray before I start, and I did manage to finish my laundry just before we started.
Okay.
So, Psalm 13. How long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and though that trouble me, rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. Oh, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because I have dealt bountifully with me.
Well, you know, this is a theme that runs through a lot of the Psalms. David is, you know, pouring out his heart, and he feels like he's been abandoned by God. And I can say, you know, I think if we're all honest, we felt that at times, that, you know, is God still out there? There used to be a comedy book, this guy was standing on the side of a mountain, and he would say, because it would echo, right? And he would yell into the mountain, is anybody out there? And he'd say, is anybody out there? And that's kind of what the idea here is. You know, David's just, you know, he's feeling very alone and very abandoned. And there's a number of scriptures. In fact, Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, 17th verse says, regarding those people that have forsaken God and turned against his law and so on, he says, then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? Well, there's a difference between, again, the elect's response and those that God has showering his judgment upon. There's a big difference. And I think sometimes, you know, we forget that, there are two kinds of people on the face of the earth. And God is not going to be the same with those who he's shown mercy to and those heathen, you know, and especially in the Old Testament where you have all of these different tribes that are coming against Israel, you know. And so anyway, the psalmist says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? I can speak firsthand to that. When the case was going on at the state of Missouri for 5 years, I asked that question a lot. How long is this going to go on? Is this ever going to come to a conclusion? I got to the point where it didn't really matter whether we won or lost. I just wanted it to be over with. And, of course, the third verse says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I've shared on this program before that one of my attorneys came to me in the middle of the case and said, you know, In reality, you'd be better off dead than alive as far as the state of Missouri is concerned, because they don't like you at all. Well, I knew they didn't like me, you know. And whenever Ezra decided to build the walls back, you know, he was catching a lot of flack, too. And we look in Ezra, the ninth chapter, and he says in the eighth verse, "And now a little space grace has been showed from the Lord, our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage."
Isaiah 9:1.
That's actually, I'm just read from Ezra. Ezra 9:8. Ezra.
Okay.
Book of Ezra. But, he goes on, he says, "Lest mine enemies say I prevailed against him." That's actually what happened to me the night before, the jury ruled in my favor, because the defense had a separate room from the plaintiff in the federal courthouse in Kansas City, and they were actually celebrating in there because they thought they'd won. And the good Lord turned all of that around, and I'm amazed, because I had even called my wife and said, "We've lost this case," you know. But my wife, she said, It's not over till it's over. You can't say it's over yet." And I said, "Rosette, you know, you don't understand what's going. I'm here. You're not here." And she'd say, "Well, you just wait." Sure enough, she was right. And then in the Psalm 35:19, it's the same theme here. "Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink the eye that hate me without a cause." Have you ever had someone, I know I've seen this before. In fact, I think there's a scripture that talks about people that wink, you know, they wink with their eye. In other words, I've seen videos like with, Obama. I saw a video with him winking. I saw a video with, George Bush winking. You know, he tries to make a point and he winks. And I've seen also Clinton do that, you know. People try to do that to gain people's acceptance, I guess. I don't know what the winking is, but there's a lot of people that experience this where they feel like they're alone, that they've been rejected by God, they've been abandoned. Have you ever felt that way?
Oh, plenty of times. Not in every case, but I felt like that plenty of times. Where I'm sitting here, it's like I literally feel that I'm alone at times. Where, like, I could give an example. Even today, I was sitting here, working on my business area. Just a recent example. You know what I went through the last week, but here, a recent example. I'm sitting here doing my best, and I'm literally feeling that it's not good enough. It's like, I don't know how hard I'm trying, it literally feels like I'm not moving forward. Sometimes God uses another author, a completely different set of circumstances, to remind you of what you've accomplished.
Right, right.
So, well, I bought this book today by Malcolm Gladwell, and talks about David and Goliath, underdogs, misfits, and the art of battling giants. No, I'm dead serious. I mean, I'm doing everything, but it was like, I was about to walk, think about it. I saw it at Value Bills for $5.99. I put it down, I was about to leave, and I said, "I go, just go by and buy the book." He's like, "Okay." So I literally read the first chapter of this book, the introduction in the first chapter. Like, at Tim Morris, as I was working with business, and it talked about David and Goliath. And he basically said, well, like, hold on for a second. At the obvious, it looks like Goliath had the advantage over David. Yet, I was distinctly reminded of Psalms, 2 Samuel chapter, Book of Samuel basically said, God looks at the heart, man looks at the outside. Let me, 2 Samuel, and I have to remind myself of this. And he basically said, like, in the book, and it just, and I reminded myself where, hold on for a second, it forced me to look at my own experience. How did a guy start a vacuum repair business, get a loan for his business, take out that cleaning, and pay off the loan selling vacuums on a business with a business plan that validated his plan worked properly? Only slipped my mind, I was so focused on the other side. That was one thing. I learned a lot the last few years. How does a guy go to school full time with a student loan over his head on ODSP and pay for school out of pocket while on ODSP and graduate debt free 2 months before a pandemic, at the beginning of a pandemic? When I got the loan, it was during the pandemic when I got the loan. Go figure that. I had to think about this. It's like, holy cow, Lord, you were there all this time. I mean, like, I said to myself, two complete strangers had to read the business plan to see if they got approved or not. The only contact I had was the business facilitator. He helped me write the business plan. That's it. And a guy had to get the loan repaid to. Beyond that, I started thinking about that. How does a guy manage to help? I mean, like, a recent case, I helped a small group to find a piece of 20 acres of property here in Mattawa area, and they were languishing for months trying to find a place, and they were falling behind. I just happened to join them via Telegram. They're going to see the property to give a deposit to the real estate agent and to figure out a way to make pages. And I'm so like, here I am, I got an apartment because I wanted to know how to find it. So that was my test case. They admitted to me. I sort of lit the fire underneath them to do it. Money for it. I was like, well, I don't know if that's of interest, but I didn't think that it was done to myself, that I can do it.
Yeah, that's a good point you're making. I got an email this week from a person, I won't mention any names, but this person said, I wanted to just point out that, you know, I really enjoyed reading your poems, and God has really given you a gift for poem writing. And I said, I responded, you know, any gift that we're given, whatever it is, just like you're talking about, it's all by the grace of God. You know, I mean, because you can always find people that, even in the secular world, I'm amazed at how people that don't even profess to be Christians have been given tremendous gifts in certain areas. And then there are those that are not even Christians that seem to surpass believers in their gifts, you know. And so God's the one that is the one that dishes out these gifts to both believers and unbelievers, you know. So
the thing I'm referring to is 1 Samuel 16:7.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not the countenance or the height of the stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man, for a man looketh for outward appearance, but the Lord look at on the heart."
That's good.
Yeah, so I was, like, so it was just this book that I almost walked away from. It was just this first chapter I read, and then it was just sort of all these memories start clicking back. I said, Lord, you were there all this time. There are times I've completely forgotten. At times I'm like, man, and then I have to remind myself. And so God's, and then my health, then I'm improving on it. I mean, so there were a lot of strides, but there are days I just forget because all I'm sitting there, and even my younger brother would go back to our northern neighborhood, and I'm like, fine, am I impressed by it? Okay, no. At the same time, but I have to remember, God has given me a really high standard on things. And despite that, yes, I'm looking at a bachelor unit. But man, my bills are paid for. Got food in the fridge. Got a bike that's completely paid for. Free will out of debt. Still owe my $600 or $100, so that I'm going to take care of. Clothing that fits. I'm going to get a couple things fixed. I'm going to buy more clothing. And I'm sitting here. And yet I'm taking public transit and get myself a cheap car. And I said, what the God, actually a lot. I mean, there are times where I have a bad habit of comparing my situation to others, but yet I sometimes forget. I'm actually a lot more relatable than 89% of the population.
Right.
I'm not arguing, I'm not judging any person's situation. But how many people can honestly say that?
Well, you know, and that's one thing I have done or used to do a lot. I don't do it so much anymore because I'm so busy. I don't have time. But I have gotten Mark started into journaling every day. Journal what's going on because that serves as a great reminder when you go back in your journal, like you said, like you've gone back in your mental archives and you realize all the things that God has brought you through. You know, it's mind-boggling, the victories that God has given us, you know. And I wrote a poem like that. I don't know if I can find it. I'll try to look for it. But it has the same kind of connotation that God is there all the time. Even when we think that we're alone, we think that he's abandoned us. In reality, he's still there. Underneath us are his everlasting arms. And you know, I think this particular scripture here in Jeremiah is apropos for what we're talking about. Jeremiah was, you know, they called him, he also was the author of Lamentations. They called him the lamenting prophet, the weeping prophet. And in the 51st chapter of Jeremiah, the 51st chapter of Jeremiah, I'm reading in the thirty-eighth verse. They shall roar together like the lions. They shall yell as lions. In their heat, I will make their feasts. I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, saith the Lord. So he's telling Jeremiah, look, I can make these people go to sleep and not wake up, and that's what you're referring to in regards to Daniel in the lion's den, because, I mean, in reality, like you said, if we looked at the physical picture of Daniel versus Goliath, it seemed almost impossible, but it's amazing how he took that sling and that rock went right into the forehead of Goliath, and Daniel goes over and takes his sword and takes his own sword, Goliath's sword, out of its sheath and cuts Goliath's head off, you know. So.
And this is where I mean, going back, like even going forward, it says, lest my enemies say I prevail against them and those that are in trouble may rejoice when I move. Sometimes it's like, you know, my experience with the city hall and everything, and how it got screwed over and everything.
Right.
Now, like, this is the complete enemy now. The same mayor, as a part of his legacy, wants to build a $65 million sports arena.
Wow.
Individuals, and I'm sitting here just like paying attention to this. It's like something like Monroe Grandel and wants to rush this through and everything like this. And I said, people are saying, hold on for a second. And I'm sitting here, I sometimes have to be reminded of, just because it felt like this was happening, God was orchestrating where I was able to come back, be the media up into the office to help a guy I'm no longer with. And at the same time, years later, nothing but scandal. And now he wants to, a part of his legacy builds a $65 million arena, and someone wants to rush it through. And I'm sitting there. I'm sorry, some people say God doesn't have a sense of humor. I'm pretty sure he does. I'm pretty sure God has a sense of humor in this. I'm like, wow, you can't make this. And I'm like, you can't make this. I'm looking at this. Like, you can't make this stuff up. You can't. And I'm like, only God can do this, can orchestrate stuff like this. And I'm sitting there. Wow.
You know, have you ever thought about, I mean, I know this, I'm speaking in the flesh now. I realize that. But this has just crossed my mind before, you know. Just think, if you and I were at the wedding where Christ turned the water into wine. I mean, can you imagine? And it was the best wine. They usually save they serve the best wine first and save the worst wine for last. But here they drunk this wine, and then Christ makes this wine. It's good stuff, okay? Can you imagine what the conversations that went on with the people in that wedding? You know?
I can only imagine. So there are times where I sometimes have to look at my experience and say, Lord, as an Adiola, yes. Did you make your blunders? Yes. Did I make a mistake and help a guy? Yes. I fully acknowledge my own blunders, so I'm not innocent. At the same time, none of these individuals, you're screwing me over, come and look at me now, and I'm sitting there looking at them. It's like, what can you, like, seriously? What the hell could you say now? I haven't gone through worse. And none of these guys really understand. I've been through a lot worse than this previously. So I'm like, I'm sitting here just, now I'm just completing my own business narrative.
Yeah,
it's kind of odd that these individuals still get a flack for their own actions, and yet my life is still, I'm seeing, still get a flack, still hate. They can't stand it because I'm doing the earth. You can't see none of me. You have to walk back and forth like this, and my life is still going smooth. It's still going smoothly like this. It's, I mean, and just the part that I'm, just the part I have to be reminded of. It's like, yeah, am I still getting food? Yeah, I'm going to walk up. And I'm thinking, sometimes I can't, I'm okay being hated and not liked, especially knowing I did nothing wrong.
Right. I mean, yeah, absolutely. If we're in Christ, we're going to suffer persecution, and it's going to happen, whether we like it or not. And when it happens, what we have to do is we have to remind ourselves that, you know, that's evidence of our election.
Yeah, you know? And this is where I have to just remind myself. And get this, all my younger brothers and sisters, I'm not gonna say who what the positions are. All got the jab, and all obviously got the 19. Put it that way.
Right.
I can't say none to me. I'm like, oh, really?
Right.
I'm gonna leave it at that. I don't want to get any strikes or anything, Larry. That's all I'm going to say.
I hear you. Well, you know, if we look at this toward the end of this chapter, he says, "This is." I always like it whenever David is kind of throwing out his complaints, but then there's a but in there. And so usually at the end of the chapter, he says in verse 5, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." That's basically what you've stated in your testimony today.
Yes.
You know, you've gone through all of these things, but when you look back and see, you know, the victories, then it gives you pause for praise and thanksgiving that God, and you've indicated this to me several times, that when you look around you and you look at where you were a couple years ago and now where you're at today, it's, you know, God has been gracious. He's been merciful to you.
Yeah, it's guaranteed. And the thing I've noticed is sometimes God will purposely open up opportunities for you to learn, because this will be a future thing for you to do.
Exactly.
So it's always this part where it's almost as if that God, I'll get an impression, you know what, I think it's going to learn this particular skill because it'll serve me. But all of a sudden, God would literally open a door and saying, oh, here's this article, go bundle it. Hey, I'm about to go volunteer. But it's just sometimes, like, I get this inclination, so like, I should learn this skill because that'll serve me. Because I can actually do things for years and not be that strenuous, because as we get older, we still want to keep busy.
Right, that's right. And, you know, I mean, it's just like myself. I mean, you know, as you know, I have several rental properties, and now I can't physically do the work myself, but I can still manage my rental properties from sitting here in my recliner. You know what I'm saying? I can still make decisions about, you know, the work that needs to be done or whatever in regards to these rental properties. And God saw in advance that I needed this, that I would need this to augment my retirement income. So as I look back on that, I'm like you. I'm amazed that God is the one that opened those doors. I could never have done it of myself, because I didn't have, you know, I didn't have the resources or the ability of myself or anything. I mean, and so it really doesn't matter what we're doing. You know, the most important thing is that we know we're giving God all the glory in it, you know. And this is
where I am personally looking at, where I just have to remind myself that God has a plan for this. I'm going to say, Lord, just continue on this path.
Right.
And you know, I never would have thought this exactly. God should I get an income for me and getting better.
Right.
I even saw on Facebook, oh yes, you're a good seller on Facebook now. I'm like, okay, fine. But yet I got this notification yesterday. There's a whole lot of people following my listings.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally staring at this, like, really? How many people are? I mean, I wasn't even thinking about it.
I know, it's amazing. When I first started Sermon Audio, you know, I never dreamed, you know, I felt like I had a message, but I never dreamed that, you know, 22 years later or however long it's been, you know, now over close to 4,000 messages on Sermon Audio, and, you know, now on 19 different social medias, and it has nothing to do with me, you know. And so I found this poem. I want to read it before we close out or close this recording down. It's called Whatever We Do. Whatever we do all to the glory of God, whether it be making coffee, reading our Bible, or filling our car up with gas. We are His people, His blood-bought children, and this heritage shall never pass. Sometimes our daily tasks seem mundane, that's for sure. But God's people rest in the love of Christ. They are eternally secure. So remember, whatever you do and wherever you go, if you're one of God's sheep, He wants you to know that He will never leave you or forsake you, regardless of where you are or what task you're doing. His Holy Spirit will comfort you and always be wooing you back to the fold of His eternal love, having been given to Him by His Father from the throne from up above. This has been a really good time to kind of reassess, you know, the great things God has done for us, and I'm thankful that we both have the good Lord on our side. You know, can you imagine? I know we both have talked before, the times before we became believers in Christ. What a dark place, right?
Yeah, I know myself. I would have been in jail.
Yeah.
No, I know for experience. You know, I said, not getting it. It's just, I literally would have been in jail.
Right. Yeah. I probably would have too. And
yeah,
I was. You know, when I think back of where my mind was and what I was involved in, it's just by God's grace. I'm gonna turn this recorder off. Just to remind everybody, Adeola, myself, and a few other people have a couple calls every week. And if you happen to hear this Bible study and you have an interest in the things that we're talking about, if you'll send me an email, you can go to LarryWPhillips.com and go to the contact section. And you can just tell me that you'd like to join us in our fellowship call. And if I get a request from you from listening to this broadcast, I will share that link with you and we'll introduce you during the time of fellowship. Let me just close this out here just a second.